Hey guys, what is going on? Cameron here with the Lawn Care Life in Missouri. Man, I was a little hesitant this morning to start the podcast. So I was at the house rolling out and I was like, man, I should really hit record and just create a quick podcast. But it's like, I've got so much going on right now. I was like, no, I don't really need to do that. I need to focus on getting back with a few people, calling them and getting some things lined up. And just focusing on what I need to get done for today. But long story short, man, I ended up getting to town, got all my phone calls in, and went and grabbed a quick bite to eat, and then filled up all my gas cans and my Ventrac and got all that ready to go. So I'm sitting here at the parking lot here at the park. And I'm actually waiting on my dealer to open up. So one of the things, I don't know what time your dealer opens up where you're at, but it's pretty inconvenient for me just the time that they open up, because by the time they already open up, I'm already out working, getting things done, and it's kind of a hassle, a pain to stop what I'm doing and then to go to their dealership. So they open at 9 o'clock a.m., which I think is a little late, especially for guys in our industry kind of getting out early. They close at 5. I think this time of year, they're probably going to switch to their winter hours, which I think it was like 4 o'clock maybe. It could be 4:30, but I'm thinking it may be like 4 o'clock. But either way, by the time they open 9 o'clock, I'm usually out already getting stuff done and in the middle of a job or whatever. So It's kind of inconvenient to quit what you're doing and then go to the dealership, because the dealership is like all the way on one end of the town, which works fine because it's kind of on the same end of town where kind of I come in, you know, to town or whatever. So it's not bad if I can catch them early in the morning, but to quit what I'm doing and then go back during the middle of the day, it's just kind of a hassle. So I actually got all my stuff done, got my phone calls in, called some people back about some estimates and different things like that. And then, like I said, grabbed some breakfast and fueled up the Ventrac and the gas cans. And so I'm just kind of waiting to go by the dealership this morning. It's 8:40, so I've got about 20 more minutes to kill before I go by there. And I was like, well, why don't I just go ahead and open up the podcast again, hit record, and just create a quick episode while I'm waiting and just update you guys what's going on and what I'm going to do there at the dealership. So I was able to get a whole lot done yesterday. I think I spent, I don't know, it's one of those things where I run the Ventrac and I've had so many issues with that Vanguard engine, as you guys know, in the past, that I try not to push it too hard, and it's hard to do, especially that a job that I'm on right now, it's a huge job. So what I try to do is I'll get there early and I'll try to take a lunch break and, you know, maybe start at 8 or 9, get about 3 or 4 hours in, take a lunch break, let the engine cool down a little bit, and then maybe an hour and a half later, go back and start in on it. So, you know, then when I go back, it'll be another like 3 or 4 hours. So basically, I'm only running the Ventrac like 6 to 8 hours during the day. I need to be running it more. I need to get out there, and I'd like to just get out there and just start on it and skip lunch, honestly, and just continue to move through it. But I feel like just the problems, the issues that I've had, I don't feel like I need to push that engine very hard at all, especially where I'm at right now. You know, I got a brand new engine on there, and I don't want to screw things up. I've had, you know, multiple issues out of it the past year or so. Just trying to kind of baby it, if you will, and still get the job done in a timely manner. So what I've been doing is every 30 minutes, I'll get off the tractor, which is a huge inconvenience, but it's the same thing with the, if you go the Kubota route, when you're in the sage grass and just the material that I'm in right now, it's very, very loose, very, very fine. And a lot of pollen, a lot of seeds fly off the grass when you're going through there trying to tackle it. So it's like dandelions, you know, you go through the dandelions and all that puff that kind of comes off the dandelions, the seeds and all that. That's kind of what I'm getting into. You know, it's tall sage grass, waist to head high. And a lot of that seed is just flying off of there whenever I'm going through there. And so it collects on the front of the top and the front of the tough cut deck. And then on top of that, it will get into the engine compartment. And it'll get on like the housing to the engine. And the air filter, of course. And there's a oil cooler that it, you know, tends to want to stop up. So I'm constantly having to stop, constantly having to blow it out. And, you know, same thing with the Kubota. If you go the Kubota route, whether it's gas or diesel, if it's liquid cooled, it has a radiator, and on that radiator, it has a radiator screen, and on that screen, it just collects on there. But the cool thing about the Kubota engine is you have a temp gauge, so you can constantly monitor the temperature of the engine and see, you know, what the temperature is, all that stuff. So you're constantly, you know, checking the temperature on that, and you can constantly monitor that. So that's a good thing with the Kubota engine, man. It's constantly showing you what the temperature is. You know, on the air cool machine, I don't have that luxury. I don't have a temp gauge or anything like that. So basically, I'm just guessing. I'm just assuming, you know. Long story short, man, I ran that Kubota, a couple months ago when my Ventrac went down and they were putting the new engine in. So I ran the Kubota gas and I noticed that the temp gauge, and it was pretty warm that day, but still the temp gauge was going up pretty quick. Like every hour I would have to blow that thing out. So every hour the temp gauge would move like a bar or two, and I never let it get to where it was running warm on me, but I made sure, if I remember right, when I was doing the tough cut job with that Kubota gas engine, it has like 5 bars on the temp gauge maybe, and it liked to run on like 2 bars. If it got up to 3 bars, I would just stop, blow out the radiator screen, put it back in, and just keep going, and then it'd be fine. So I try to keep it cleaned out and running cool. And so, you know, with that being said, you know, every hour having to do that, I thought, you know, the Kubota is a very, very well-made engine. It's a very powerful, strong, reliable, just an engine that's been around for a long time that is very durable. And so I thought, you know, if I'm having to blow this thing out every hour, then I'm going to really baby this Vanguard engine. I'm going to blow it out every 30 minutes. So that's just what I decided on this job. And in the future, when I'm running the machine, I'll just plan every 30 minutes. You just got to get off. You just got to open the hood, blow it off, clean it up, and get all that, you know, all those seeds out of there. So basically what I've been doing this whole time is every 0.5 hours, when it hits 0.5 and zero, I'll just stop the machine when it hits 0.5. And then when it rolls back around to 0.0, I will just stop the Ventrac. I'll pop the hood, I'll get the blower out. I've been carrying around the Toro 60-volt blower, which that's what I normally carry. I usually carry my big backpack blower if it's on a big dusty job, but I don't have a place for my backpack blower on this particular job, and it's I'm a long, long ways from the truck, so I don't leave anything in the truck at all, nothing in the bed of the truck, just because I'm a long ways from the truck. And so I've been carrying the Toro 60-volt blower on my Ventrac. I'll just kind of set it down in an area on the overgrown area, you know, where I've already tackled. I'll just set it down there and I'll blow it off, and then I'll take off. I'll knock down some overgrown tall, thick stuff. And then when I feel like it's been 30 minutes, I'll swing back over there where the blower's at, blow it off, and just keep that blower kind of real close to me. And that way I can keep that engine compartment and just everything under the hood blown off, cleaned off, and not getting to a point where it's stopping anything up and not allowing air to flow through there and cool the engine. So that's what I've been doing. Uh-oh, hold on a second here. I'm checking this out over here. Hold on. So I've noticed, oh man, that battery's completely dead. Hold on one second. So I've got my GoPro in here, and I charge my batteries every morning before I head out, and I have it on this Toro 60-volt inverter, and it looks like it drained one of my batteries down because it wasn't completely up. So let me swap out batteries real quick, and while I do this, hold on one second here. Let's see. This battery has, oh, it's full. Okay, Let me put this new battery on there. It's this Toro 60-volt inverter. It works really well. So, clicking in the battery there, turning it on. There we go, it's kicked back on. Man, I didn't realize that. Oh man, it didn't charge my, so I had this GoPro, I think it's called Volta. It's just like a selfie stick with a battery charger in it. And you can use that. And when you use it, it will, it'll charge, keep your GoPro charged. And so it didn't even charge, man, which it's all good because I still have a little bit of time before I get to the job. But I like to get those, I have to get this Volta charged all the way up. If not, I won't have enough battery to get me through it. And let me make sure these other batteries are charging. These other two GoPro batteries are charging on the USB going to the cigarette lighter. So I've got those two batteries charging, and I've got the GoPro Volta selfie charger, power bank, whatever you want to call it. I've got it charging. All right, back to what I was saying. So anyways, guys, just kind of move the blower around and keep that Ventrac blown off, cleaned off, and hopefully it'll hold up, man. I'm in the position right now. I don't want to get into debt. I don't want to spend any money on equipment. I don't need to finance anything. I don't want a payment. I honestly don't want a payment. So I probably won't buy a new Ventrac until I have the money saved up and in the bank and say, hey, I've got, you know, $30,000 in the bank and it's sitting there and I can use it to buy the Ventrac. So that's probably what I'm going to end up doing. Just want to get a little bit more ahead before I get into any type of debt. So I'm probably just going to run the Ventrac 4500K with the Vanguard engine on it. Since I have a new engine, I'm just going to run it for a little while. I don't know how long it'll be. I really want the Kubota, but I think right now the best thing for me to do is just continue to do what I'm doing and run what I've got and not get any debt, especially going into the winter time and all that. You know how it goes. It's kind of unpredictable, but I've been getting a lot of jobs lined up for the Ventrac work, so excited about that, and that'll bring in quite a bit of money, especially this big job that I'm tackling. Once I get done with that one, I'm going to be doing another big job that I've done in the past. I don't think I did it last year. I may have done it last year. I don't really remember. I could have done it last spring, but I'm not sure. But if not, it's been 2 years since I've tackled this. But it's a big lake, 40-acre lake, big dam on the lake that needs to be tackled. And so one of my regular customers that I take care of, I do a lot of work for him. He called and said, hey, I want to go ahead and put that on the schedule for this year, get that done, as well as doing some work up around his barn. And so that's what I'll be tackling next week. Hopefully, if I get everything done that I need to get done this week, I will check it out towards the end of the week, see what he wants done around his barn. And then next week, I will get out there and try to tackle it. Hopefully, towards the end of the week. I've got a little hunting trip coming up this weekend, early next week. Not sure how many days I'll be going and doing that, but it's definitely an annual thing. Me, my dad, and a whole bunch of friends that we meet there, we all go do a little hunting and just hang out and enjoy each other's company, you know. So that's definitely an annual thing that I'm not going to miss. Been doing it forever, and be sure to do that. But I don't know how long I'm going to be gone, honestly. It's one of those things where I feel like I've got a lot of work stacking up, piling up, and I need to get back and get some work done. But at the same time, deer season's only once a year, so got to take advantage of it, take time to spend time with friends, family, and I definitely have to fill the freezer back up. As a lot of you guys know, we eat a lot of venison, don't eat beef much at all, so that is, yeah, that's what we pretty well fix anytime we're fixing anything at the house. It's venison, no beef, so we got to fill the freezer back up and have enough to last until this time next year. So gonna be going on that trip. Also, I have an opportunity to go to the TCI. It's called, I don't even know what it's called, honestly. It's I think it's the Tree Climbers I don't know. Let's just look it up. Hold on a second here. TCI. I had it pulled up earlier. Several people were wanting me to go to this. They've invited me to it. And let's look here. TCI Expo. So it's called the TCI Expo. Let's see if I can get some info on it. It's been going on since 1990, so it's been going on a long time. Tree care industry. So let's look here. That is the name of it, Tree Care Industry Expo. Let's look. I thought it told. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. So I may or may not go to that. I'm not positive yet. I'd like to go to it. There's a lot of people that asked me if I was going to be there and go to it. A lot of different brands, equipment companies. But I'm not sure if I'll be able to pull it off or not. We'll just have to see how the schedule plays out. But I'd really like to go if I can. But looking at it right now, it's like next. It's not this weekend. It must be next weekend, like the 15th, 16th, 17th, something like that. So, yeah, there's a handful of people wanting me to go to that. I don't know if I'll be able to pull it off or not. We'll just have to see. It's only about two and a half hours away, so it wouldn't be that bad of a drive just to run over there real quick, spend a few hours over there, and then head back home or head back to where we're deer hunting. So just have to see how it all plays out, and of course have to see how all this work kind of lines up. I'm getting a lot of people calling me right now, and a lot of people wanting things done, so we'll see. You guys know how it is. You know how it goes. It's like you're it feels like sometimes you have a dry season where there's not much going on for like that week or maybe a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden it hits you all at once and you're like, man, why couldn't this work, you know, all this work have came like a little bit at a time instead of all at once. A little overwhelming at times, especially when you're solo trying to do it all yourself. And you want to help people out. You want to take care of your customers. You want to stay on top of things, and you want to be a good business to work with. You want to provide a service to the best of your ability and be able to help people and serve people. But at the same time, if you're solo, you're very, very limited to what you can get done. So I may have to just start telling people that I can't do it, or, you know, tell them it'll be 2 or 3 weeks out. That's just how it is when you're solo, man, and you get a lot of work rolling in. It's you can only handle one person. You can only handle so much. So doing that, plus the maintenance, running the business, all the other stuff that goes in with it, it's a lot to tackle, a lot to do. You guys know. You guys have been there. So that's where I'm at right now. But let me tell you about a little bit about why I'm going to the dealer here. And let's see. Oh, it's 5. Wait, they're about to open. They're about to open in 5 minutes. I got to get this truck started. Hold on a second. I'm just over here chatting away, man. I didn't realize it's almost 9 o'clock. I got to be there when they open. I can't be waiting around. So I'll be able to get there in like 5 minutes. 5 to 7 minutes. So not very much of a drive. But I want to get there right as they open so I can get this done. And I can get my day started with the Ventrac work. Because, so I've been kind of telling you guys about maybe getting another piece of equipment to test out this fall, this winter. So they ended up delivering that piece of equipment to my dealer yesterday. So I'm heading over there this morning, and I'm going to go pick that up. I'm going to go pick it up, and I'm going to go put it in my shop. So just going to pick it up real quick. I'll take some pictures of it. I'll share it with you guys on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Just kind of showing me picking it up and basically just taking it straight to the shop. And then I'm going to get busy on the Ventrac work. I got to get that stuff, like, I got to get a lot knocked out today. I really can't afford to spend much time going and picking this thing up, but I know it's going to take a while. It'll probably take an hour, maybe 2 hours by the time I get there and see if we have to assemble anything or attach anything, and then get it on the trailer and get it to my shop and then getting back. It'll be over 2 hours. I guarantee you I won't get started before 11 o'clock on that Ventrac job. I'm hoping I get there by 11 o'clock. Probably be closer to noon. And then you're looking right around lunchtime. So it's like, do you go there first and work for a few hours? Do you go grab lunch and then get out there? So it is what it is, man. I'm not complaining one bit. Very blessed to be able to work with different companies and try out different products. And it's just part of it, man. You got to sacrifice to work with these brands, to work with these companies, and to help them out. You have to sacrifice as well. It's not all like win, you know. Like right now, I should be out running the Ventrac, but at the same time, you know, I'm sacrificing that work, that money that I could be making to help this business out, help this company out, showcase their product in my lawn care business. And so you got to sacrifice a little bit, man. It's like anything in life. You got to sacrifice, you know, in order to get to where you want to be. Maybe in order to do things that not many people are doing or whatever, to get, you know, your business to the next level or whatever. You just got to sacrifice. Anytime you get to a place where, you know, you want to take your business to the next level, you want to take the social media stuff to the next level, anything that's, anytime you do a little bit more than what's required or what's expected of you, anytime you do above that or any more than that, it's always a sacrifice. So sacrificing a little bit right now on the front end to hopefully make it up, you know, in the long run, long-term goals. Hopefully the short-term sacrifice is worth it in the long run. It's just like running your business, you know. You may sacrifice at the beginning by taking on whatever you can get, hoping that in the long term you'll grow that business and you'll get a lot of customers, you get a lot of projects, you'll get a lot of revenue, and then you can steadily or slowly or whatever kind of increase things and make it to where you're more efficient, more profitable, and things like that. So right now, just kind of taking a risk, and a lot of times that's what you have to do in business. You know, you run the lawn care business. I took a risk on day one. I went out and bought a $7,700 Exmark Laser HP 23 horsepower Kawasaki engine, 52 inch deck. I went out and bought a 12 foot utility trailer, brand new, all this brand new. I went out and bought brand new steel trimmers, blowers, and I thought I was in business, man. I hit the ground running and try to just figure it out, make it happen. Same thing with doing the social media stuff, the content stuff. You can create videos and you may not get anywhere. You can create content, may not have any brands at all look at you and be interested. Or you can take that risk and say, well, they may be interested, they may not be, but you won't know until you get out there and create content. It's just like Phil's Lawn Care YouTube channel, man. He's got an awesome channel going. He's got a whole lot of subscribers, and it was a risk. I mean, he's running his lawn care business. He was working at the hardware store, I believe, before that. But running his lawn care business and, you know, posting videos for years and years and years. I mean, I don't even know how many years. But I know Phil has posted videos for a long time. It could be, I'm not sure how many years, but it could be a really long time. You know, same with me. I've been posting videos for a long time, man. And it's like these brands, they start to realize that, hey, these people are are trying to help you out. You know, they're trying to promote your products. They're trying to help you out, trying to show what they use in their lawn care business, landscaping business, just use it in their business in general. And so these brands may start reaching out. They may not, though. You may spend years and years and years. Just look at Phil, like Phil's Lawn Care. He spent a long time probably just shooting videos, creating content. And now he's kind of reaping those benefits. He's definitely reaping those benefits on the YouTube channel. I mean, he's crushing it on all three of his YouTube channels. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he's been able to do, but came at a risk. It came at a risk. You know, he took that risk and it's paid off. And same thing with like working with brands. You know, he's working with Toro, he's working with Steel. What other brands? I know there's several other brands, but it's one of those things. You know, he took a risk. Now Toro has reached out to him and is working with him. Now Steel is working with him. And so he never would have had those opportunities if he didn't step out of the boat and take the risk. And so same thing with you. It doesn't matter if you don't want to do social media, you don't want to do content. You can look at your lawn care business, landscape business. And it all comes down to how much are you willing to risk? Like, how much risk are you willing to take? The bigger the risk, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, the bigger the risk, the more potential for bigger opportunities. So I feel like Phil's got huge opportunities right now, working with brands and just the size of his YouTube channel right now. If he wants to go back to lawn care anytime, you can always. Like I tell guys all the time, I think I might have told Phil this too. It's like, Phil, you can always go back to mowing lawns. You've done it. You know how to do it. It's easy. It's not rocket science. It's not hard to build. It's pretty simple. You can always go back to that. But right now, take advantage of the opportunities that we have in social media, content creation, all that stuff, and just, you know, take advantage of it. So that's kind of where I'm looking at right now with the, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it right now with the whole content thing, you know, working with brands, helping them out. It's like we're in a unique time right now. And I don't know if we'll have this opportunity, say, 5-10 years down the road. So take advantage of it while you can. Help these companies build the brand and promote their products. And in return, you can use them within your lawn care business. And you never know what will happen. You never know what will come of it. You may work with one brand. That may lead to other brands. And then before you know it, you've got all these brands knocking on your door. But it comes at a risk. It comes at a price. Whether you're willing to do that or not, that's up to you. But that's where I'm at right now. I'm just pulled into my dealer. I'm about to check out this new equipment that this brand sent me. And if you guys want to see what it is and what it's about and what I picked up, head over to the Lawn Care Life in Missouri on Facebook. Head over to Lawn Care Life in Missouri on Instagram and you guys can check it out. I may even post a picture on the YouTube channel, but go check it out. Let me know what you think. See if it's something that you want to use in your business. It may be for you, may not be for you. It's not for everybody. It is for me because I will definitely use this thing and definitely put it to work and definitely benefit from it, but it's not for everybody. So check it out. Let me know what you guys think. I got to get out of here. I got to pick this up. I got to get it rolling. I'm Cameron with the Lawn Care Life in Missouri. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you listening to the podcast. And send me a message, man. Let me know what you guys are up to, what you got going on in your life, in your business. Reach out to me on Instagram, Facebook, thelawncarelife@gmail.com if you want to email me. A lot of people have reached out there. So shout out to you guys listening to the podcast. I appreciate the support. And check out those platforms and see what I'm about to pick up. So I'm out of here. Have a good day, guys. And as always, hey, God provides.